Would you get your Bibles? Go to Hebrews, please. I want to encourage you this morning. This passage to me is one of the most encouraging passages in the Word of God. I realize we live in a hostile, unchristian society. But I'm glad that I got a God and I got a Savior that's able. And I want to read these first 8 verses of Hebrews 13, if you're there. I'll give you the background to lay the foundation of who the writer is talking to, because it's vitally important that you know who he's talking to. And then we'll apply it to us this morning. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Whew, that's strong. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I like that, he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Then it gets to a crescendo here. So that we may boldly say, not meekly, not with a monotone voice, but that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. Jesus Christ. The same yesterday and today and forever. Can I read that again? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. I want you to picture, if you may, for just a moment, stay with me. The introduction is vital because it lays really the foundation of what he's trying to say here as I magnify one portion of this verse or this passage. Picture, if you will, the trumpets are sounding for daily sacrifice. Picture the priest and the Levites at work. Picture the outer court, if you would, of the temple in its grandeur and its beauty. Picture the inner gates full of pearl and beauty. Picture the priest taking an animal for the daily sacrifice that has already been proven and found without blemish, and him slay it, put it up on the altar, and they burn it, and the odors go through the temple. Picture, if you will, someone not too far in the distance, a Jew, a Levite, not into the sacrifice anymore. Are y'all with me? Looks at it as a place of shadows, but is tempted by all its beauty and all its pomp and circumstances to go back into Judaism. Picture that, if you will. This is the same. By the way, this is the same person that when he received Christ, His mother and father took a casket and buried it in the backyard. Same guy. Picture it, if you will. Picture him looking at the Old Testament and sees people and sees all the unexplained ceremonies and the unfulfilled prophecies and unsatisfying longings. You picture in that faith emptiness. But one day, he met Jesus. He met the one that was made sin for him, that knew no sin, that he might have the righteousness of God. He pictured the one that would deliver him from that sin. And when he got saved, he realized that his family would disown him, his friends would desert him, and his foes would down him. And by the way, he made the right choice when he trusted Jesus. Are y'all with me? I want you to know I'm not a Jew. But I want you to know I'm a Christian. And though I don't have a pull, and you don't have a pull back into Judaism, there is a real devil that is trying to pull us back into the world. And to get us to stop doing that which is right, and stop worshiping God, and stop having standards in our home, and standards in our church, and standards in our lives. And then the writer says in verse number 6, now let me magnify, because we're going into the message. He sees all that intimidation of the former life. Here's what he says. The Lord is my helper.
Amen.
What can keep us going? What can keep us walking for God? The Lord is my helper. What can keep us returning back to the world and the filth of the world? The Lord is my helper. What can lift us up into joy and lift us into a new realm? The Lord is my helper. There's not a circumstance, not a problem, not anything you face that my God, who is a helper, won't take you through. You may have lost your family, lost your friends, and your foes are giving you the dickens. But may I say, the Lord is your helper. He's real. He's on the throne. He's in control. Now I want you to go with me as we, boy, I'm getting happy, travel through these verses and shows us what God can really help us at.
Amen.
See, I believe when you get saved, you get changed.
Right.
See, I believe when you get saved, you're able to do things you couldn't do before.
Right.
Am I preaching? I am sorry. I am a little put out with a Christianity that is powerless and that has no power in prayer and no power in preaching and no power in singing. Boy, I sense a little breath from another world this morning reminding me once again, even though sometimes we're down and sometimes we're in and sometimes we're out, that God is my helper. Now let me give you bang, 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 bang. Six things. Bang, 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 bang. By the way, if he's our helper, it ought to play out in our daily life. It ought not just be a little word that we use. If God really is our helper, It ought to make a difference in everything. So let me give you six things. And I'm just going to go, is it hard? I'm just going to go down the verses. So you won't be able to leave here and say, boy, he's just picking on me. No, I just went down the verses. First of all, if the Lord's your helper, you can have compassion for souls. Look what it says. It said, let brotherly love continue. I want to tell you something. There will not be nothing draw sinners to this church and draw sinners to our lives than us loving them for even what they are. Look what he said, let brotherly love continue. Love for the saint. You said, well, there's people in this church I can't love. Well, I'm going to question your salvation if you can't love them. Amen. When God saved you, he put something in you, if you yield to it, will help you love anybody.
Thank you, Lord. Amen, preacher.
I remember one time I was preaching revival out in the country, and you got to know country churches. I walked in, and some of the guys was giving me, said, oh my God, preacher, you're going to have a hard time. Joe's here. I think his last name's Hicks or something like that. I can't remember. And he said, Joe's here. And I said, I've never been to church in my life. And I'm getting warned by somebody as soon as I walked in that Joe's here. Well, I preached the gospel that morning. Guess who came forward and got saved by the grace of God? Joe did. Can I say to you, I've got a God that loves the whole world and a God that loves each and every one of us. And he put that shed abroad, that love in our heart, and it ought to give us an ability to love each other. You said, I can't bow. God said, I'll help you. Not only love for saints, but love for strangers. Amen. Hey, look what it says. Be not forgetful, verse 2, to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. You better treat everybody good, but you may not understand, but there might be an angel in your midst. That's really what he's saying. You know, we've had, over the years, a lot of new people come in. Strangers. And I'll tell you what I don't do. I don't try to go back in their past and rehearse where they come from or what they've done and replay any failures or anything they went through. No, friend. When they come in here, they're coming in fresh and they're coming to a pastor that's going to love them. And I don't care what's happened in the past. It starts right now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Too many churches that are trying to live, they hear about people's reputation. Well, I want to tell you, when there's haters that hate people all the time, and by the way, we're supposed to love people. I can love strangers.
Amen.
I remember preaching in a meeting, and I you can always tell somebody that folks don't care much about because they're sitting all by themselves. It didn't look like the church was loving on them. I'll tell you what, Jeremy, they come to me after service and they said, boy, I want to tell you. And I want you to know they weren't dressed real good. They really weren't. And they were really, it seemed to me poor. But I was poor at the time, our spirits was. And I'll tell you what that stranger done. My wife and I had been going through some trials, and financially that month, there was more month than they were payday. How many's ever been there? And that stranger, who I just kind of loved on, said, by the way, and had in her hand, laid something in my hand, I put it in my pocket. And you said, what'd you do when you got in the car? I looked in my pocket. it was $200. And I said, my wife knows I brought home $200. And when I got $200, she don't know about it. She wants to know where it came from. I want you to know it's not wrong. Hey, it's real wonderful. Hey, everybody don't have to be like you. We'll never make uniformity, but we can make unity. And the blood of Christ will bound us together. And we ought to know God will help us to love even strangers.
Amen.
Somebody help me. I'm going to try to hurry. Then he loves the suffering. So remember them that are in bonds. Them that are going through it. I looked this morning. Cindy, every time you come, it's a special morning. Because I know you've struggled so much these last 3 or 4 years. And I know you've been suffering. I thought this morning of another lady in our church that's been suffering. I don't know if you sent her a card. Kathy Landers. By the way, I'm going to take up an offering for her when she goes and gets her transplant. Because she's going to need a lot of funds up there to take care of her. I want her to know why I'm preaching online. We love you. Cindy, I love you. Hey, those people out looking at Judy over there and Freya, they've been suffering. I want to tell you something. I love you this morning. I'm praying God's blessing on you this morning. You say, how can you do that? Because God is my helper. Let me keep preaching. Man, I'm having a good time this morning. Look at verse number 4. Not only compassion for souls, if he's your helper, a commitment to sanctification. Amen. Marriage is honorable and all. And the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Amen. By the way, God can help you to live holy. How many believe that? You have within you the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit can enable you to live a holy, separated, godly life.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen.
And then he talks about the honor of marriage. And marriage is honorable. And Monica, I know our world don't know how to define it, but it's one man for one woman.
Amen.
It didn't say one man for one man. It didn't say one woman for one woman. The society may embrace it. They may legalize it, but it does not make it right. See, somewhere along the line, we got to be holy and separated. And even though we love the sinner, we got to hate the sin. And don't come to me and say you don't love homosexuality or homosexuals and those that have sinned like that. You really don't know me very well because I've led several of them to Jesus Christ. And they got saved. One in particular got saved he was a pervert with children. Got saved by the grace of God and now is preaching.
Amen.
Amen. But I'll tell you, every step of the way, I told him that sin was an abomination. I told him that he was wicked. I told him he was ungodly. His sin was ungodly. But I did tell him there was a Savior that loved him and loves the whole world and that could change him and change anyone.
Amen.
Am I preaching? Amen. The honor of marriage, but the horror of misconduct. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Amen. Young people, I want you to listen to me. God wants you to be a virgin when you get married. You say, I don't know if I can do that. Well, the Lord's your helper. And say let me say this, and I don't want to get down on you. Say you've already messed up. Okay, you messed up. Get forgiveness, but don't do it again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We need to bring our bodies into sanctification and holiness. I tell you why we don't live too narrow is because there's too much junk in our trunk.
Amen.
We need to stay away from sex and sin and dirty movies and filth and bad language and the part. You say, well, I'm just a party animal. God bless you. Get saved. You won't be. You said, but I can't live that kind of life. You can if God's your helper.
Amen.
You said, that's just too tight for me to live. All you can live in if He's your helper.
Amen.
Am I preaching? There's people in the pornography that you wouldn't believe it's in pornography. You said, well, I just can't help myself. I want to tell you, you could help yourself if you let God help you. Somebody say amen. Hey, we don't have to live like a dog. We don't have to live like an animal. We can live right.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Man, I'm having a time this morning. Am I preaching all right? Number three, look at verse 5. I'm moving. We need to have contentment in our status. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. By the way, this is a teenager in Manasseh, I ask. You can be cool with what you got and what God's given you. We ought to be content. Raise your hand. We ought to be content with what God gives us. You didn't need a new car if God didn't give it to you. Somebody help me preach. You didn't need that raise unless the boss gave it to you. And by the way, I got a God who can get them to give it to you. See, we need to be satisfied with God, what God has provided. How many of you, God's been good to you? Raise your hand. Slip it up. Be it. Come on. Wave at me if He's been good. Wave at me if you've got probably more than you ought to have. Yes, you do. God done it. We ought to be satisfied with His provision and His goodness and what He's done for us.
That's good preaching. Glory to God.
Man, I feel a spell of preaching coming on me this morning. By the way, we ought to be secure in His presence. Said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. Cindy, can I ask you a question? If I had a mic, I'd bring it back to you. Has God been with you? I'm not listening to what's happened to you. I don't know what I would do if it's my wife. But I'll watch you. And I'll watch your attitude. It thrills my soul.
Amen.
There's a lady in my church that's went through terrible physical, but she still gives Him the glory. Somebody, has He left you, Cindy? Has He left you, Sister Judy? No, 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 no. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And in the darkest hours of my life, in the shadows was Jesus. When depressed by your failures, you're not forsaken. When down in the dumps because of your your failure to follow spiritually, He's still with you. When discouraged from fretting and worrying, He's still present. He was with Daniel. And Daniel got a real good night's sleep in a den of lions. He was calm. And God clamped the lion's jaws. You said, you believe that? Oh, yes, I do. He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they was in the fire. By the way, He was in it with them. He was with Jonah when Jonah was a menu of a whale. And Jonah cried out from the whale's belly, and God answered his prayer. Jeff, I sense God moving this morning. Here's a David, that small 16-year-old when he faced Goliath. He's with Joseph when they sold him out and put him in a pit and went down to Potiphar's house, ended up in a prison. And he said, y'all meant it all for evil, but God meant it for good because he ended up in a palace. Amen. Then fourthly, this is good here. Are y'all still with me? I'm going down the verses. Are y'all following me? Verse 6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I read a couple of verses today that really helped me. I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Listen to this verse. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul almost dwelt in silence. You know what you need to do? You need to look up and not look down. Amen. See, we need to have a boldness to speak. Hey, you know what's happened to us? We've lost our boldness to say what's right and what's wrong.
Yes.
We're afraid some social media guy would jump on and say something about us.
Right.
We need a boldness to stand because the fear of man bringeth a snare. I'm told, I've been told this, I'm outdated. I've been told that my style is not really for this modern culture. I want to tell them, I'm not shutting up.
Amen.
I'm still standing against sin and standing for the Savior and lifting up a God who loves you.
Yes.
Am I preaching this morning? Man, oh man. Stop running when in trouble. Stop compromising every time you have pressure. Stop quitting every time you're challenged. Stop changing your mind when things get hard. Hey, by the way, life is hard. And life is not fair. But God is my helper. I've had to deal with people over the course of my ministry that wasn't real easy to deal with. But I want to tell you what made it easy and what made it comfortable is God's my helper. Because if you got the love of God in you, you can reach out to anybody.
Amen.
I remember. Oh, I'm praying. Well, glory. I remember when I was younger. And when you're younger, and you're a young preacher, you want to quit every Monday. Well, I did. And I remember one time, and I don't know if Marguerite remembers, she reminds me of everything else, that I had already, I mean, I see how far I went. See how far I went, Chad. I wrote the resignation out and signed it. It was on Monday. I wrote it out and signed it. I said, I'm going to go find me a deacon and give him this. You know what she said? I was just a young preacher. She said, okay, when you do, before you go there, go to that man last Sunday that got saved and tell him it ain't worth it. And she said, you remember that little bus kid last week? They came around you and hugged your leg and said you that he loved you. Go tell him it ain't real. And I looked at her and I said, well, honey, I was just kidding. Oh, the devil tries to get us all to stop. But we can't stop because he's our helper. We can't stop because he's faithful. We can't stop because he's good. We can't stop. I don't care what happens in your life. Don't stop serving God. Verse 7. Did I tell you I was going down to verse, Sean? A consideration to my superiors. Woo! Remember them which have rule over you, has spoken the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now listen to me. It is possible to function as a Christian and not be in charge. I tell you what's wrong with our churches. We got too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Well, my Bible says, children, you need to follow your parents. My Bible says, Christians, you ought to, if you're at work, follow your bosses. You say, I don't like them. Well, I didn't like mine either, but I tried to do the best I could. And churches, you ought to follow your pastor. You know what really bothers me? People seem to be the best at something they ain't never done. I remember, I don't rebuke people very often, but I did one time. I might as well confess all my sins this morning. I did rebuke somebody one time. This guy got up and he started testifying and lecturing everybody about parenting. You know, man, you ought to knock them in the head. You ought to boom, boom, boom. And I went back to him after the service. I couldn't help myself. That's when I was a young preacher and I didn't care. And I said, why are you lecturing us on parenting and you don't even have a child? And you know, there's a lot of people said, well, they know. You know, a lot of people know all about pastoring, but they ain't never been called. Well, if I was, well, you ain't. It amazes me, folks are experts at something they ain't never done. Somebody help me preach. We need to have respect for their position. He was talking about the man of God. We need to remember their preaching. By the way, when you leave here, don't say who he is preaching at. Why don't you let some of the word, whatever got you, speak to you this morning? And repeat their practice. Follow them as they follow Christ. But then lastly, I got done. My time's about running out. Boy, this is the best. Look at verse 8. Everybody get your Bible. Look at verse 8. The Lord's my helper. I see the consistency of my Savior. Look what it said. Church, how many's got a Bible in front of you? Raise your hand. Will you do something for me? Would you read verse 8 with me? Everybody that's got a Bible or cell phone you're using for a Bible, it's all right with me. Read this with me. Ready? Jesus Christ, the same. And. You say, I can't make it. Oh, yes, you can. Because of his consistency. He never changes. Now, you young preachers, you might want this. It's good here. As master, he's infinite. As Messiah, he was incarnate. As man, he was inerrant. Never see him once. As a martyr, he was innocent. As a mediator, he is independent. As a model, he is intimate. As a messenger, he's an intercessor. In majesty, he's getting ready to leave heaven and come back and take us to glory. And we're getting ready to experience the rapture of the church and the soon coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me close with four applications. I know I preached 1 minute and 14 seconds over. Shame on me. How many believe He never changes. That means he still can save. I don't care how far down you've been, how bad you've been, how low down you've been, he can save you. By the way, Brother Steve, I'll tell you what else he'll do. He can supply you. How many remember when you weren't as well off as you are now? Anybody? Y'all always was rich, huh? I want to tell you, there's a time I wasn't as well off as I am now. But I found out he can supply every need. He can sustain you when the whole life goes out from under you. He's sufficient yesterday, today, and forevermore. I wonder this morning, you're here and your life's been challenged. You're having a hard time right now. Would you just come this morning and let him be your helper? Just say, God, I need you this morning. I'm not putting high pressure on this invitation. If you need God for something this morning, why don't you just slip out and come around the altar? And with heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Raise your hand. God bless you. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I've never met Christ. But you said he's the same and he'll save me and he loves me. And he does. If you couldn't raise your hand, but you would like to be a Christian, you want to know the Lord, will you slip it up right now and just say, pray for me? I've never been really saved, but I need to be. I couldn't raise my hand, but I want to be. I want to be saved. I want to know Christ. But just slip your hand up right now and say, pray for me. God bless that hand. Somebody else. Come on. Slip it up. If some folks didn't raise your hand, you ought to want to be saved. Hey, he'll save you this morning. Stand with me. There's a lot of folks already made it to altar. Won't you come this morning? Why don't you come around and say, boy, I said my life, I need some help in. I want God to help me. I want to stay true to God. I need his help. Won't you sit down? Surely you have something in your life that you need God's help in. Father, touch right now. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name.